Lord Ramachandra appeared in the dynasty of human beings. He wanted to show by his behavior the perfect conduct of a king, of a son, of a brother, of a husband, of a friend, of a master, of a disciple. Vishvamitra Muni's service was to be the Guru Maharaj of Lord Ramachandra and teach him the most essential truths, both spiritual as well as those which would assist in his mission. They lived in the forest together. They traveled from one forest grove to another. He taught Ramachandra Gayatri Mantra and various other mantras, how to chant it perfectly, when to chant it properly. Actually, they would go to sleep on the ground made of nice leaves. And in the early morning, during the Brahma Muhurta, Vishvamitra Muni would wake up Ram and Lakshmi. Tell them, now it is time for you to take your baths. Now it is time for you to do your meditations. Now it is time to offer your oblutions to the sacred fire. He was so pleased by the humility and the service of Ram and Lakshmi. Each day, Lord Ramachandra and his beloved brother Lakshman, they would go out and collect wood for Vishvamitra Muni to perform his yajnas. They would bring water for him. In the evenings, they would massage their Guru Maharaj's feet and legs. They would go and collect roots and berries and fruits from the forest and make nice plate and offer it to their Guru Maharaj. Being pleased, Vishvamitra Muni one day told Ram and Lakshman to perform their achman and offer their prayers because he was going to teach them a very powerful special mantra. The mantra is called Bala and Atibala. By chanting this mantra, you will never become tired. You will never become weakened by hunger or thirst. And you will gain extraordinary power in any situation of life. They traveled, and Valmiki's Ramayana, which is being narrated by Lava and Kusha to Lord Rama himself, he explained this extraordinary journey, how Sri Ramachandra and Lakshmana every day with such eagerness to hear, they would ask Vishvamitra Muni various questions as they traveled along the forest path. They came to the confluence of the Sarayu River and the Ganga. Lord Rama asked, can you tell me the history of the river Sarayu? Vishvamitra Muni explained how long ago Lord Brahma, who was born from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, as he was creating the universe, he created a lake called Mansarovar on the great mountain, which is Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva. Seeing the great devotion and love of Lord Brahma in his service, Lord Vishnu filled that lake with the tears from his eyes. The Sarayu is a river that has its origin in Mansrovar, and it is flowing from Mansrovar, and at this place it is coming to meet the holy river Ganges. Lord Rama asked him, "Can you tell me the story of the river Ganges?" He narrated in very elaborate detail several chapters of Valmiki Ramayana, the whole history of how the Ganges originates and comes to this world. When they came to that place where the Ganges and Sarayu met, there were many great sages and rishis living there. It was a beautiful place. And the sages seemed so happy. Lord Rama asked to Vishwamitra Muni, "Can you tell me why is this place such a nice place? What is the history of this place? What is it called? And who are all these sages?" Vishwamitra Muni replied that long ago, Lord Shiva performed his tapasya here. And because of that, it became permeated with his Shakti. It was here that Kandarpa, who's also known as Kamadeva, decided, with the influence of the demigods, to break Lord Shiva's meditation. Because at the time, the demigods required Lord Shiva for some important business, and he was immersed in meditation. So, who better than Kamadeva could distract you from your meditation? Do any of you have this experience in your life? So Kamadeva made all sorts of wonderful, wonderful arrangements to distract Shiva's mind. But Shiva was just detached. Kandarpa, sending up saras and beautiful winds and sweet music and scented flowers, still Shiva remained fixed. He became angry, and he took his most celebrated of all arrows, the arrow of passion, and shot it into the breast of Shiva. Lord Shiva turned around to see who has done like this. There he saw, hiding in a tree, with a bow in his hand, was Kamadeva. Lord Shiva looked at him. His third eye opened. Kandarpa was burned, not into ashes, into nothing. His body simply ceased to exist. And Vishwamitra Muni explained, because of that, Kandarpa had no body. Therefore, these days when he attacks people, nobody sees him. He's there, right in front of you, but you can't see him. His name became Ananga, which means one who has no body, no limbs. And due to that pastime where Kandarpa became Ananga, this province is called the Anga province. And the great sages and rishis, knowing that this is the place where Lord Shiva performed this wonderful pastime, and this is where Kandarpa assumed this incredible formless form, They have come here since that time, and they do their yajñas, and they're very, very happy. That is the story of this place of pilgrimage. They bathe at the confluence of Ganga and Sarayu, and they continue their journey. They came through these beautiful, beautiful forests with scented flowers and birds singing, and they saw so many saintly persons performing their religious activities. Lord Sri Ram, Lakshman, and Vishwamitra Muni entered into a particular area of the forest that was haunting. Everything was dark. There was no leaves in the trees. There was no birds singing. There was only the shrieking of vultures. The whole atmosphere was full of darkness, ignorance, and fear. There was no animals, no humans, nothing was there. Lord Ram asked Vishwamitra Muni, "Can you explain where we are? What has caused this terrible atmosphere to be in such a beautiful forest?" The Vishwamitra explained that there was a yaksha whose name was Suketu, and he was a very pious yaksha. He had a daughter of the name Tataka. She was very beautiful, very simple, very sweet person. Her beauty was so enchanting that it attracted whoever would see her. When she came of marriageable age, Suketu offered her hand in marriage to a Rakshasa of the name Sunda. Now, Rakshasas and Yakshas, according to caste regulations, they're allowed to marry together. So they roamed and lived in the forest very happily together. And Sunda and Tataka, they had a son of the name Maricha. And they were all very beautiful people. But one day, Sunda, being a Rakshasa, he misbehaved in the presence of Angira Muni. Angira Muni cursed him to die. He died. Tataka and her beloved son, Maricha, were so angry. They attacked Angira Muni to kill him. When they did that, by the chanting of mantras, Angira Muni just sent them in total defeat, but also cursed them. He cursed Tataka and Maricha to be huge, ugly, deformed, violent, cruel Rakshasas. So Tataka, she lost her beautiful shapely form and became a hideous demon. Large, large, large in size, with big, ugly, bulging eyes and hairs all over her body and a bulging stomach. She was so ugly and terrifying, and her mouth was so big she can just eat anything. Then she performed tapasya, because she had such a cruel heart at this time, and she gained the benediction of the strength of 1,000 elephants. And her son, Maricha,
He became just a savage, powerful man-eating Rakshasa. Nobody could stand before him in battle. He's terrifying to men, to gods, to rishis, to everybody. And this Tataka and Maricha, because a rishi killed their husband and father, they hate the rishis. And their only business is to torture them and murder them.
Hare Krishna.
Vishwamitra Muni told Lord Ram that this particular forest is the residence of Tataka. Lord Sri Ramchandra, you should kill her. Don't think that because she's a woman, you should be sentimental about her. She must be killed. Lord Ramchandra went into the forest. Took his mighty bow without an arrow in it. He just trained that bow. It made such a loud reverberating sound that the whole earth shook at the twang of his bow. Tataka, when she heard it, she was in flamed with anger. Who has come to my forest? These human beings? She appeared before them in this ghastly, grotesque form to kill them. She cried out to them that today you will be my food. She attacked them, but Lord Ramchandra shot some arrows. She was such a great mystic that she went into the sky and created total darkness. Covered the sun, the moon, there was nothing but pitch darkness. Then from the sky, she started throwing down thousands upon thousands of gigantic, sharp-edged rocks, like rain. The Lord Sri Ram, with his celebrated bow and arrow, was breaking all of those rocks into powder. She was creating all kinds of terrible mystic illusions. But whatever she did, Lord Ram dispelled. She was becoming angrier and angrier and angrier. But they could not even see her. How to shoot her, how to fight with her. She was invisible. She kept tormenting them with various attacks in various ways. Ultimately, Lord Sri Ram dispelled all of her illusions, and she appeared before them in person. The Lord, with his arrows, cut off both of her arms. She was screaming, howling in pain, angrier than ever. Then Lakshman, with his arrows, he cut off her ears and the tip of her nose. And even though she was such a forbidden Rakshasa, still, every woman is proud of her beauty. Having her nose tip cut off and her ears very humiliating. Angrier than ever, she attacked. Vishwamitra Muni told Lord Ram, it's just about to become dusk. Her power will become much greater than ever. It's almost impossible to kill these Rakshasas in the nighttime. I can see that you're sentimental because she's a woman. I know it's the law of morality that women must always be protected, that women must always be honored and respected as a mother. But there are exceptions when it's a woman like this. She has devoured thousands and thousands of Brahmins and sages. She's caused havoc to so many people's lives. Ram, give up your sentiment. Kill her now. At Vishwamitra Muni's order, Lord Ramchandra pulled out his celebrated bow and arrow and he shot an arrow right into her breast. She screamed violently, fell to the ground, and Tataka gave up her life. Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki. Vishwamitra Muni was very happy to see this. He decided to give Ram more benedictions. He had them sip water, chant their mantras. Vishwamitra Muni had told him, I will now teach you the mantras by which you can invoke the missiles and weapons of the demigods, which will make you insurmountable in any combat. In those days, these mantras had to be heard from a guru. And you had to be taught how to chant them perfectly. This is the power of sound vibration. In this age of Kali Yuga, everything is gross. But actually, the subtler you get, the more powerful things are, even on the gross platform. Just like sometimes we fight with our fists. We pound each other. That's pretty gross. But someone who knows karate or kung fu, they can beat someone who just fit because it's a little more subtle. They understand not just the brute force of the fist against bone and flesh, but they know certain points of vulnerability, and they use different types of quickness of air and energy. So it's a subtler form, but it's more powerful. And then you have weapons. You used to have cannons, where just a big ball comes and hits you in the head. Then they put some dynamite in the ball, and it hits you in the head, and it explodes. But then they got subtler. The atom. Atom is a very, very subtle form of gross energy. And if you can somehow or other split the atom and extract the energy of the atom, then you have an atomic bomb. It's actually a very subtle form of gross manipulation. And then you have nuclear bomb, which is subtler than the atomic bomb because it's dealing with subtler forms of material energy. And what type of gross manifestations of destruction they can create. However, in previous ages, sound vibration was understood to be the most powerful of all elements. Through sound vibration, you can manipulate the various aspects of this world in such a way that no gross effort could ever compete with. These kshatriyas, when they would shoot their bows and arrows, the Atiratis and Maharatis, they would chant mantras. These mantras would invoke certain astras or weapons, which were oftentimes the weapons of the demigods. The Brahmastra is powerful enough to destroy an entire planet in a second. That's its power. But so accurate that it could go into the womb of a mother and kill the child without even hurting the mother. And by chanting the mantra, you can invoke it and let it loose. Toward your target. It doesn't matter where your target is, it will go right to it.
Hare Krishna.
So Vishwamitra Muni taught these mantras to Lord Ramchandra by which the various weapons of the gods would be at his disposal. Lord Ramchandra then you're compassionate and thoughtful. He asked Vishwamitramuni, can you teach me the mantras how to withdraw these missiles if I shoot them and change my mind? Ah, that's something people can't do today. You press that button, it's gone. There's no button to change your mind. But these missiles, you can send a Brahmastra, you can send the weapons of Shiva or Indra to your enemy, and then you can chant another mantra and it'll come right back. Vishwamitramuni then taught Ram the mantras to reverse the effects of these celestial missiles. This is a very important part of Ramayana, because later on, during the battle with Ram and Ravana, we find that he's sending these different astras that he learned from Vishwamitramuni. Because Lord Ramachandra wanted to teach the world, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the role of a human being, he wanted to give all credit to his devotees. He wanted to teach the world, give all credit to your seniors. Take no credit for yourself. Never consider anything to be your own, but always be grateful and willing to offer respect, adoration, and give all glory that comes to you to your superiors. That is a sacred lesson that we learn from this incident. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Whatever the demigods have is given by him. But the principle of humility is even there in the Supreme Lord.